Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my Wild Country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
The latest rage for kids is driving entire neighborhoods crazy. It's called
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
That's like an alarm clock.
With Dusty Hera.
Well, you want a woo-woo?
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
It's that woo-woo.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
They think it's a fad. It's going to go away. It's not going away. It's driving me nuts.
The Fan.
All right, hour number three, Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Brooke Oldsonam will join us at 8:30. Blazers sideline reporter, give an update to what she's been up to these days, you know, since basketball ended back on March 11th.
Bring in B.O.
B.O.
The old B.O. Is it old B.O.? Or
yeah. Yeah, just B.O. They call, I just threw the old in there. It's not old. Oh. I'm not old. Right. Old B.O., you know? Brooke Oldsonam, she'll join us 8:30. You asked a question before, what it's like in stores. You haven't gone to a store?
I haven't gone to a store in 2 weeks.
Really?
No.
But your question was how people are acting and reacting towards each other?
Yeah, yeah? I'm wondering if workers there, I mean, the safety of these Fred Meyer workers, Walmart, mm-hmm. Costco, any supermarkets and any things that are out there, I'm hoping that there are any of the customers are being respectful of those workers because they're putting, I mean, everybody's in just a bizarre state of mind. Feels very edgy. And that's the thing is everybody's on edge.
Yeah, my experience with it has been people are definitely giving themselves their space.
Are you going in with gloves and mask? Or are you just walking in normal?
No. No. A lot of the stores are taking extra measures, making sure they have, you know, wipes so you can wipe down the cart if you don't bring your own in.
I'm
making sure that things are clean.
I go in with gloves and I do Buck like is a different mask.
Buck wears gloves to work.
I wear gloves here now. Share equipment, share board.
Yeah.
I mean, I still sterilize it every day, but, you know, just trying to do my part to be safe.
But I carry hand sanitizer with me.
Yeah, I got gloves everywhere.
And
anytime I go somewhere.
The disheartening part about it, though, is you can tell very quickly when you walk into a store these days who is not taking it as serious as others are They're just kind of bulldozing their way through. Usually, you know, a lot of people are staying to the side a lot more, you know, in my experiences at least. And, you know, there's just people that just don't really care. They'll split the gap and just keep on going like nothing's going on.
Yeah.
And you do notice that a little bit more. Like, you never really noticed how often people would, like, weave between you, you know, in a store setting or a mm-hmm. crowded area. Mm-hmm. But I'm finding that a majority of people are keeping that distance and being respectful of it.
Well, that'd be tough to keep 350 million people all mm-hmm. on the same target line to make sure they follow that here in this country. But it's...
I also think that we're actually kind of lucky that to be in this area where in Oregon and Washington, California, they are taking it more seriously than they are in some other states. Like Louisiana is having a huge problem right now because it's kind of just like, for whatever reason, I think it's like, you know, it's more community oriented down there and people are together more often down there. It's very hard to keep those people apart right now in Louisiana.
Yeah. So we're really good at being non-conference, well, as I'm saying, is that we're not as friendly up here.
Well, avoiding people's what we do.
We're really good at avoiding.
Yeah. I mean, we've been prepping for this.
I mean, we're the home Northwest. Of Sasquatch, who's the best hide and seeker on the planet.
Damn
so,
right.
I mean, he just is.
Ooh, what if he gets it?
No, don't do that.
All right. Okay. College football's impact on this. We're talking, and this would be our P1 social. If you had a blank slate, you could wave a magic wand to change one thing in sports. What would it be? And yours was
sports.
Yes.
My college football change was Power Four. Eliminate the Pac-12. Combine the Pac-12 and the Big 12.
And the NCAA. You said yes. Just get rid of the NCAA as a whole, too.
Correct. That was, my second part was, we're going to combine. We're going to make four big Power Four conferences. And that can, and if you want to do that with just football, I'm good with just football. Everything else can stay the same. And then eliminate the NCAA and create one governing body with one commissioner. And then have a board. And then have the structure be very same. No more commissioners of the Pac-12. No more commissioners of the SEC. None of that. It's all gone. We all work under one unified rule book, one unified group of officials, and we get one true college football national championship where we're all on equal playing field. Enough of these different types of sections and rules and money and everything else. It's like, you can make more money. That's fine. You have bigger donors than I do.
Well, you may have it. You may get it. The NCAA, at least going away as we know it. Because Brett McMurphy of Stadium, he had an article that he put up yesterday where he polled 130 FBS football bowl subdivision ADs. And I think he got responses. I don't know if it was all of them, but it was a big 112 of the 130. Okay. So 112 of the 130 got back to them, and 50% say a chance of a full college football season won't be played. There's a chance that a full season won't be played because of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. What goes in after that is the impact that it could have across sports.
Catastrophic.
Is massive.
Financially.
We've been talking about how they took $375 million of the $600 million that they were going to distribute to each member institution just based off the cancellation of the NCAA tournament. Wait, not to each institution, each conference, right? That would be just taken right out. Well, what they're saying is football's done. I'm going to read you some quotes from ADs. There better be a season or many programs are going to be out of business. Another one says, quite simply, it'd be devastating. Another one said, if there's no football season, we will be effed. He didn't say effed. That is how ADs are saying that's the importance of the football season and how it goes off because it is millions upon millions of dollars. And it's not just TV rights. It's ticket sales, sponsorships, donations that come with your season tickets that fund every other sport. They are saying Olympic and non-revenue sports would probably be cut altogether.
Yeah. I think I mentioned this yesterday too. Within that article, it says that it's going to look like the Great Depression where we're in soup lines. I looked at it this. So I lived through, and then there are a lot of people who were part of 2008 during the time. Financial losses. I was involved in construction development. I lost a lot. So that was devastating for me. But when I look at this, and I remembered watching the movie, it's a good movie. It's called Too Big to Fail. Talked about the banks and the $700 billion bailout that banks and cars and like Ford and General Motors and some airlines and some of these things got as part of the bailout to save what was considered too big to fail. So I posed this question, and I'll reiterate it again today. Is football, if we're talking about sports, we're talking about the way it funds the Olympic sports, the way it funds colleges, the way the NFL funds your entire city with businesses and advertising, would you consider the NFL too big to fail and college football too big to fail?
No.
Because it is, it's an engine. And I know lives are way more important than dollars. That's not what this is about. Mm-hmm. But what we're trying to figure is that if you're in big business and you're trying to say in the sports industry, we're trying to say, look, I understand there are bigger fish to fry right now and saving lives and healthcare and the people on the front lines. But is the NFL and football too big to fail? Because if it does go down, What does that mean? I can't put it in perspective. I can't understand it. It's so big to grasp because you don't know how much it means to economists or to the economy and to the ones that are working there. It's just your livelihood.
I don't think they're too big to fail because of the fact that we're looking at it in the comments that you're hearing from a lot of these.
Well, because we'd have no precedent.
Athletic directors is that no, this will go down and it will fail, not just the football programs, but the rest of our athletics as well. Because it's interesting that one season, this can hinge on losing one season.
Yeah.
And if one season is lost, then the whole thing goes to hell. And that's the dire situation of it all. So when you say, is it too big to fail? No, it's not, because it props everything else up. Like, you're looking at.
So what do you mean? So you're saying it's not too big to fail? It's like, let it fail. If it needs to fail, it needs to fail. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that if there isn't a season, like you to say the NCAA could fail. Yeah, it absolutely could. If there isn't a football season, NFL's a little different. I think the NFL might be.
So is it your mindset of, and it's just fair to, I'm kind of asking everybody to think about this, is that, do you do everything you can to try to save the way football is for the universities and for the NFL? Do you do everything you can, even if it's no fans showing up, if players take multiple PPEs and find ways to be safe? Do you find way to get that somehow broadcasted and somehow do exhaust every option you can to try to save that?
I think that you will see football ADs definitely try and do that. Whether that is like a quarantine of in college football, yes, I think you'll try and see they're going to do everything. But also, you have to understand that the part that makes it easy to fail in for the college football and not the NFL is that you have state schools where ADs and coaches and players, it doesn't matter what they think, because if the governor and the university president says no chance in hell you guys are staying on this campus,
yeah,
then guess what? They're not going to be staying on that campus. And that's where it's kind of out of their hands, is that you're a state-run institution. Good luck.
Yeah. I tend to believe, and I want to think about how crazy it would be. I feel like sports is such an engine that we don't really understand how much it does mean, because we've never been without it. Even during tragic times that we've had before, mm-hmm, wars, 9/11, it was the escape. It was what brought us back to kind of rally together. If we don't have social connection, if we don't have the entertainment, and this goes with movies and this goes with, you know, Broadway shows and all those things, sports just brings us together. Mm-hmm. It really does. It gets you, you know, you could have a friend that lives in Boston, Massachusetts, but because you're Patriot fans, you guys are together. I tend to believe it might be too big to fail right now. The way I'm thinking about it, not just financially, but emotionally for a lot of people.
Well, that's why I think the NFL is, but college is a different animal. It's a completely different animal. And, you know, Buck had the point of, he sent this along yesterday. Do you see LSU's finances on their school?
No, I haven't looked at that one yet.
So LSU's operating sports, if you look at it and what football means, the profit numbers from each sport in 2016, 2017, this according to Ross Dellinger, it says football made $56 million. Men's basketball made $1.6 million. Baseball made $569,000.
Revenue engine.
By the way, having a baseball team that turns a profit is rare.
Yeah, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's very rare.
The other 14 sports that are at LSU lost around $24 million.
Yeah. And then football pays for it all.
Football made $56 million. Mm-hmm. Men's basketball made $1.6 million. Baseball made $569,000.
Well, you're the proving other the point. Well, you're proving the point right there. Without football, there is no other sports. There's
everything
no other sports.
Dies, right?
Everything dies, from jobs to trainers to anybody, to tutors to all those athletic scholarships. Mm-hmm. It's all gone. So without football, it is too big to fail.
No. What do you mean? What do you mean by it's
like
too
you have
big?
To like when you say it's such a major importance for how universities run when it comes to the athletic departments, you can't not go without it somehow. You have to find a way to make it work of any way. You have to exhaust every opportunity to the point where eventually somebody that's like Dr. Fauci comes, you can't do it. You have to exhaust every opportunity to try to keep this alive for the chance of keeping these people.
Oh,
I
thought you were saying that it was a situation where no matter what happens, whether you have a season or not, it won't fail. And no, I think it will.
No, my point is when I say too big to fail, when I talk about those banks and the bailouts, is that you can't let these banks just fall. We can't be Lehman Brothers and just let billions upon billions go away and say this one fall on the sword. Football can't fall on the sword. It has to stay alive some way, somehow. Wow. That's why I mean it's too big of a monster. It's too big of a revenue generator to help so much that it's the only sport that I see right now in our country that we can't let fail.
Yeah, well, let's continue this conversation on the other side. Dustin Cam on The Fan. All right, we're talking college football's impact on the rest of the athletic departments and what it means to the athletic departments. We're using LSU as kind of the measuring stick here. Their football program brings in $56 million a year. Mm-hmm. And that was before they won the national championship, by the way. This was numbers from 3 years ago. While all the other sports combined to lose outside of football, men's basketball, and baseball, the 14 other athletics lose a total of $24 million. So football runs everything. And you were saying football, too big to fail.
Are we under the same understanding of where really what too big to fail means?
No, you're saying that you cannot let it fail.
We can't let it die.
Right.
Like
this year.
You can't let the season just go. We can't let the NFL season just go away. You can't let college football just go. Like, you just can't just sacrifice it. It's too big. It's too monstrous. It's too much of a revenue generator and the livelihood for so many things that it is, quote unquote, too big to fail. Fail means done.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, for the rest of college athletics, football will return in 2021 if 2020 is canceled. I don't think a lot of other sports are. And unfortunately for all those other sports, you know, it's not going to be ADs, coaches, mm-hmm. that are making this call. It's going to be government officials. And at a public institution, they call the shots,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, they do. They do.
The NFL's a private entity.
Yeah,
they can
deal.
Keep going.
They can.
And they will keep going because they're just going to force it. They're going to force it down everybody's throat.
Well, I don't know if they'll force it down, but they have a lot of people that are questioning. I mean, we have one, this audio of Adam Schefter saying is that, look, just listen.
We all want to see the days where we have that distraction of football, but OTAs, that's
no
not
shot.
Happening.
Yeah.
The offseason program, that's not happening. The draft is happening only through the sheer force and determination and lack of foresight from Phil Franklin. I mean, they are doing this on while there is carnage in the streets.
See, and that's what I'm saying right there. If they want to do it, it'll happen,
but
just like with the draft.
Where's the outrage from Adam Schefter in this? Is that if it's safe, okay, if it's safe and you're doing everything teleconference, you get everybody Zoom, you're following every rule mm-hmm. governed by the state, by the president, by everybody that's at powers that be in the CDC. If you're following that, what is so bad about what the NFL wants to do with their draft? I can't comprehend. If they're following their rules, they're not even letting their guys in the facilities of the NFL. They yeah. all have to do it. Yes, it'll be awkward. It'll be difficult. It will be uncomfortable because you can't get all your work done, but safety's not the question here. It's just like, is it tone deaf for them to go ahead with the draft? I just don't think so.
No.
They're following rules.
You have to understand the part about Schefter, though.
Oh, no.
Is
stir the. I know,
where
I
does,
know.
But where does he get his information from?
Well, he gets it from all his general managers.
GMs
yeah,
and presidents and coaches and stuff. So
but he's their voice of outrage. I understand
yeah,
it.
And he's their mouthpiece on this that they feel slighted because they can't do the face-to-face interviews and go through yeah. their normal routine and process. I think everybody else, football fans especially, I, for one, I know, and all the, with everything you outlined, they're taking the precautions. I'm so excited that we're going to have something that matters.
Yeah.
You know,
just
a draft
something.
Matters. Like, it's right. not sports, but it matters.
I don't care how it's put together. I don't follow the rules. Keep your distance. You have the technology. I mean, we have it.
And you see the lengths that just the common man is going to just to do something different, unique, to keep themselves entertained. And people are creating all sorts of different new ideas. We have something in front of us that can make us just feel normal. That's the way we've always done it. And it's not going to look and be packaged exactly the same, but it's still the same event. And if we can go through with it, I don't see an issue.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither. I think that it'll be something that hopefully enough states take it seriously. And I said this last year or yesterday that if you tell the South that football season's going to be compromised, they're going to start taking it seriously. And I say it tongue in cheek. I'm not
really
it's not that much of a joke. If you are to tell the people of Louisiana who weren't taking it seriously by all accounts of medical professionals, and they have a massive spike in the New Orleans area, if you tell them LSU ain't going to be defending that title, they're going to start taking it seriously.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw Georgia release their upgrades to their coaching staff. Their coaching staff got a $7.2 million growth of all. And now that's their total. That doesn't include Kirby, who is their head coach. But $7.2 million is what their coaching staff, that was a bump from a almost $2.5 million bump from all their raises. They didn't even make the college football playoff.
Nope.
You go and you tell everybody down there who where it does mean more. Just it's just look at the NFL draft. I mean, it's going to be half of it. Half of it is going to be from two teams in the SEC of the first round alone. If you do, you make a good point. If you tell them that, hey, your guys are going to lose all your football if you don't take this seriously, they're going to listen.
Yep. And that's why Ed Orgeron's doing PSAs.
Yeah, I know. He does a good job.
Go Tigers.
Go Tiger.
Go Tiger. All
right, we'll get some of your feedback and
some gumbo and
hopefully
shrimp.
Cam does the entire interview with our good friend Brooke Olsendam of the Portland Trailblazers in that voice next. But first is Buck with SportsCenter. All right, it is 8:30 on your Wednesday morning. Dusty Harrah, Cam Cleland with you. Quick little news tidbit here is that TMZ says that the Tiger, Phil, Peyton, Brady match, they are in talks to get it done, looking at May, hopefully.
Yeah, and it would be go towards a coronavirus fundraiser.
Nice.
That'd be awesome.
I would love it. I would love it.
I can't wait.
Okay. Well, until we get more news on that golf match, let's bring on friend of the program and Trailblazers sideline reporter Brooke Olsendam joining us. Good morning, Brooke. How are you?
Woohoo! I am fantastic. I am just, couldn't be better. Loving life. Mm-hmm. Everything's great. Not missing work at all. Not going crazy. just kidding. Sarcastically, I am very much going crazy. But I'm happy to be here and talking to you two. I miss you terribly, and you're just like two of my favorite people. So
what are you doing?
Yeah. What you been? I saw your push-ups, Brooke. You were knocking them out like there's no tomorrow. That was impressive.
I heard. You know what? I thank you so much for saying that, because a lot of people said the opposite. They said that I could have been going further down.
Nah.
Like, it wasn't a real true push-up. But man, Any sort of physical activity that I'm doing right now, I'm trying to tell myself I'm doing well and pat myself on the back. And people are on the opposite end of the spectrum saying that I was, you're not going low enough. That was not a real push-up. So thank you for saying that.
The push-up police came out. Big surprise.
How are you guys doing?
Oh, good. It's everybody's kind of on lockdown. You know how it's kind of a weird thing that we're still coming in and doing the show every day. And that kind of gives us the excuse to get out. But it is weird just being at home and being like, this is, you just stay home all the time. So we're getting a dog today.
I heard. I'm so excited. I saw the pictures. I'm dying. I'm like so excited for you, Dusty. I wish I could come over and just see you guys, of course, but hold the dog as well. Like, that dog is real cute.
See, this is the problem, though, is that it's like when you have like a niece or a nephew, you can wind up that kid and then you can just leave. It's going to be easy for you. I've got to go through puppy training here. And when this is all said and done, you can come hang out with the puppy. But, please, at least take it outside to poop. because that's going to be my job. I know it is.
So I don't know if it's okay for me to talk about, like, so you and I were texting yesterday, and you said that you're going to rename the dog, which is totally, people, that happens all the time. Because, you know, obviously, like, from the far, they're named just because you have to name, you know, you should name the dog. But a lot of people then say, well, I want to name my own dog. So that makes total sense to me. Have we come down to a couple names? Or are we still thinking? Are you letting the kids pick? What's going on with that?
Well, kids picking a dog's name is a dicey proposition. because Bennett wanted to name him Tudor Magooter, which is actually not the worst. But I think we're going to go with Harry Fitzgerald, and we're going to call him Fitz. Name it after that's Larry cute. Fitzgerald. So I think that's the name we're going with.
I like that very much. That's very cute.
He's currently named Biscuit. So
we already got a Biscuit here.
I know.
I liked Biscuit too. Yeah. I thought Biscuit was a great name. I think that'd be because it's who doesn't like a biscuit?
But our good buddy Greg Glover at 94.7 has a dog named Biscuit.
He's got more Twitter followers than like everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's true. Got it.
Yeah.
So what else is new with you? Are you in Portland? What are you doing?
Who knows? I mean, I do know that I am in Portland. So I was at my mom's. When all this went down, I just, you know, grabbed Theo and just said, let's go to a rural area where he can run around and just, I don't know, it just made me feel better. So I took Theodore to my son, by the way, if anyone doesn't know, 4 and a half, to Spokane, and that made me feel better to be with my mom, and that was comforting. But I came back here to get him because now he's with his dad. Long story, but you know, just kid stuff. But I'm back in Portland, and that was good for me because I wanted to do this whole Olds and Graham Live, which it sounds such a funny name, but I love it. Aaron Grossman came up with it. And I was like, people are gonna hate that. He's like,
I like it.
Okay. Yeah. Olds and Graham Live. So I did that with Dame yesterday, which is kind of like the only thing I can do at this point, content wise, you know, just to be in, you know, reach out to the fans and try to make sure that they're continued to be entertained and informed and as much as you can during this time. So I came back here to Portland 2 days ago and did that. And I'm here for a couple days getting Theo. And then I don't know what we're going to do. We're either going to hang out here in Portland or go back to Spokane, which is where my mom lives. I should probably make that clear. And that's where I grew up. And I don't know. Every day you just kind of decide, like, what are we doing today? I don't know. It's very fluid. So I am in Portland. And I will say that in Spokane, it was wild the last 3 days in terms of weather. So it hailed one day. I know it hailed here. I think it hailed here too, didn't it?
Yeah.
For some people. Yeah.
Nuts.
And it was a crazy snowstorm in Spokane a couple of days. Yeah, like not storm. Okay, I'm being sorry.
It's March though. Any snow.
That's true. I thought the same thing. Spokane's kind of whatever. You never know what you're gonna get there. But it was the whole yard was like full of snow. It was coming down in buckets. Then yesterday, my best friend texted me from Boise that she has a earthquake. I'm like, come on. And mom's like, I called my mom because I wasn't there anymore in Spokane. She's like, yes, I knew it. I felt it too. And so it's just weird. Like everything is weird right now. People are having earthquakes. It's snowing in March. Anyways, you know, I'm in Portland to answer your question.
So Brooke, stepping back just a little bit in this month, what was it like for you, the initial reaction when I think it, I don't know if it was Rudy Gobert or maybe it was just that initial reaction for you and maybe collabs and those guys in the broadcast stuff was like, whoa, was it like, okay, this is just going to be brief for us a little bit? Or was there a little bit of a pause? Is like, oh, this is going to change significantly.
Cam, that's a great question. And I will say that and Dusty can attest to this. I think he's the same way, like glass half full kind of person, which is, I think, good for the most part. Mm-hmm. But also it kind of, for me, I felt a bit, out of touch because when it all came down, I remember sitting in Blazers broadcasting, when we were having conversations about just no fans, like, I'm like, this is not going to happen. That's no way. You know, I don't think anyone could have really predicted what's going on right now. Unless you're in the medical arena, which my cousin, I posted this, my cousin Ben is an ER doctor. And since talking to him, I think that they all saw this coming. But for someone, for me, that I couldn't foresee it. I couldn't. I thought no fans was crazy. And I'm talking like with our pregame producer, Nick Livingston, you know, he said, I think it's going to happen. I'm like, man, that's wild. Like, this is going to be really weird to be in the arena with no fans. And I remember feeling, this is just like odd. Now looking back on this, it's just odd. I remember talking to him saying, you know, for that Nurk game, Nurk coming back, it's going to be so sad. Like, I was looking forward to, you know, everyone being so excited for Nurk to come back. And to think of myself now at that point and look at where we are now, it's just wild. So I could never have foreseen this. But, you know, it was the right thing to do. I completely commend the NBA for doing what they did. And now that we know all that we know, I mean, yeah, it had to be done. But I didn't see us being here at that point. And I think that that's just me being like at that point in time, naive to what exactly was going on. And now that we know, it was absolutely the right thing to do. And yeah, I have no idea what's going to happen for the rest of the season. But everyone, you know, we had to put everyone's health and safety first. And now thinking like, well, I remember, like I said, no fans, that's crazy. But it was not only was no fans the right move, but not playing basketball, sadly, it was the right move. And we're seeing that now with everything that's happened. So whatever happens in the future with this, as long as people's safety and health is being put first, that's the right move.
Brooke Olsendam is our guest, Blazers sideline reporter, and with the season on pause, like it is, we all said it, like, that's crazy, no fans. Mm-hmm. We would do anything to have no fans in just a game on the floor. When you're talking to Dame and stuff, you know, yesterday on your Olsengram Live, which you could check out on Instagram.
Great name, by the way. I like the name.
Like, Aaron Grossman gets all the credit for that one.
Are these guys? Like, do they just want to be back? Or, we heard LeBron say fans are so important. I mean, how are these guys handling it? Because, I mean, like, this is the time of the year where it's supposed to be so busy for you, and it's supposed to be so busy for the players who are ramping up for the playoff push.
You know, I think the kind of how I just explained myself during that time, I think players probably feel somewhat similar, because I remember when LeBron came out and said that, and I think if you asked him now, he might have a different opinion about that. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just think that it's such a weird time that people are kind of looking at everything differently, where, you know, back saying, I'm not playing without fans. I think I have a feeling that players might just say, I'd love to play no matter what, you know, as long as, you know, everything is, you know, as I go back to saying health and safety first. But I think it's just players now just are looking at life like, I just want to make sure my friends and family are going to be okay. And when basketball comes back, I'll be overjoyed. But it's just an interesting time where everyone's looking at life a little bit differently, I think. You know, and the only positive thing I can take from this is, and you know, people say this a lot, everyone's kind of coming together a little bit, you know. And so basketball, even though that's, I joke all the time, like, ball is life, you know, for me, for you, for them. It's not exactly life right now. Life is figuring out how to make sure your friends and family are okay and making sure that everyone's just good. And then when that's established, basketball can come back. So it's just, we all miss it so much. And I love, this is going to sound kind of weird, but I love the Blazers broadcasting, and everyone else in the NBA is like showing old games and, you know, classic games, recent games, just to kind of keep people, you know, giving their basketball fix. But until this world is kind of figured out and everyone is feeling like they're okay to like get up and go outside and, you know, get ready for a basketball game, I think that's kind of, you know, on the back burner. But I yeah, without, I just, it's just such an odd, weird feeling to remember that day, which was not that long ago, where we were just having this conversation, like, there's no way we're going to play without fans. And look where we are now.
So I was talking, we've gone through tragedies before of in our country, but sports always kind of rallies us. For me, my biggest miss of sports is being able to sit down with my daughter or something and watch softball. Is there something that you're missing or sitting with the boys and be able to watch a Blazer game and saying, hey, look, there's Dame on, so see that and talk about the game. Is there something specific that you're missing about the sports or about being out there that you're like, man, I didn't really realize how much I missed this part?
Cam, I miss every part. I look back and I say, I get mad at myself for ever, even just a little complaint about like, oh, I hate doing my makeup for games. Oh, makeup's the worst. Like, you know, all these little things that like were getting ready for a game or, you know, heels. Oh, they're so uncomfortable. Like I would take back all of it. I will wear heels every day, all day. I don't care. I just want to be back working. I want to be at the arena, any arena. I want to be watching anything. You know, I just missed every aspect of basketball, every aspect of a live event, being there, watching guys warm up, everything. I mean, I've said this a couple times, but little things that I look back on and say, God, I remember like thinking that was fun, but I enjoyed that so much. Like I've talked to our producer Dan Hyatt, and you guys know him, and Jeff Curtin, our director of broadcasting and director in the truck, and we have like this ongoing dialogue in the pregame show. You know, when we're not on live, we're just like chatting with each other. Me pushing my talk back button, talking with them, just about whatever's going on that day or like what was for dinner. I mean, just silly stuff. But I now realize I really enjoyed, I mean, little things and, you know, talking to the guys before the game and even after, you know, this year, I'll say this, you know, to be kind of open and honest, you know, this year it's been tough because with all the injuries, and I feel for the guys because I know how badly, you know, they wanted to have a fantastic season. Like they had, you know, big aspirations, and unfortunately just luck wasn't on their side this year with injuries. And so it was at times tough, but I would go back there and do it. I mean, I would take a tough night over no night, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd go out there and talk to Dame and look at him and be like, I know how badly he wants to turn this thing around. I know how badly he wants to get to the playoffs, all the guys. But you know, just being there in that moment is like even the tough ones, I'd take that over no moment. Yes. So it's a weird situation where I just feel bad for the guys. And I'm not saying me, if you ask me for me, and that seems selfish to even say how I feel about it, because that doesn't matter. But with for the guys, like they had this opportunity right now or at the moment, let's say like a couple weeks ago, they had this opportunity and they were looking forward to like showing that they could get back in the playoffs, you know, with all the adversity they've had this season. And it's just like you step back and you're like, they didn't even have the opportunity to try to do that. And so I just missed the basketball game. I got a basketball game, all the aspects of it, getting ready. I'll do my makeup. I'll put 10 times more makeup on just to have one more game, you know? So I'll never complain about anything ever again.
Okay, Brooke, before we let you go, what was your main takeaway from Tiger King?
Oh, my Lord.
Have you fallen into the trap? You've watched it, too? I haven't done it yet. I refuse.
You haven't?
No, I refuse. I'm not on it. But I got to hear your point. I got to hear. Let's go. Share it.
I know you've got thoughts on this.
She does. She has to have.
So many thoughts. So many feelings. So here's the funniest part. I watched it by myself. Like I just started watching it. Like I have to. Everyone else is watching it. I didn't even know what it was at first. I was like, is this real? So I watched the whole thing by myself. And then my mom, she's my best friend. So like, I was staying with her. I was like, Mom, I knew she would have feelings on it too. I was like, you've got to watch it. So I rewatched it with my mom. Oh.
You catch so much more. Lindsay, same thing with Lindsay. You catch so many little nuggets that they dangle for you that you don't pick up on the first time you see it.
So many more, Dusty. So many more. Mm. I was okay. So, the other guy. What's the guy that has the other that
Doc,
still is working?
Bogvan on Intel.
Oh wow, his dialogue, talking about it all. I was like, yes, Doc. Yes, Doc. He has a great ass. Like I was like, I don't know. I that is the moment I thought I was truly losing my mind.
You're gonna join Doc's cult.
How do I get Princess Doc? I gotta talk to Doc. So I really felt like I was losing it. But I'll say this. What's her face? Oh my gosh, what's her face?
Carol. Yeah, Carol.
Oh my gosh. At first I thought. Now I'm not sure who's the craziest one. Like, is Carol the craziest one, or was Joe? I mean, Joe's in jail, so that's not good. But Carol. You just go back. These personalities are so wild that it's just, I don't know. Carol is, I'm so excited. There's another season. I thought, like, for sure this is it. Like, this is the season. It's done. It's over. Where can you go from here? And apparently they're coming back.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be so wild. I was happy to see that guy with no teeth has teeth now.
Yep, John. Congrats.
Yeah, and I believe he's engaged and or married. So
you guys are convincing me to not watch this anymore either.
It's fantastic.
Oh, no.
It's great.
You really have to, Cam. It's like a rite of passage at this point. You have to watch.
I feel like I don't even have to watch it. You guys have told me everything about it. Oh, no. It's just right there.
No, there's actually no spoilers in there.
How much can you spoil a crazy guy with tigers?
It's the twists and the turns. And, geez. I mean, you didn't even, we haven't even brought up Jeff yet. Mm. And that guy's.
Well, that's another thing. And here, Dustin, here's my question. Okay. Who do you think, there's so many questions, but who do you think burned down the studio?
Joe Exotic.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Okay. We all agree on that, right?
Yeah, we do. We do. I think we do.
Okay.
I think we do.
But remember when they showed that clip of the producer?
Yeah, Kirkham.
I can never remember. I'm terrible with the names. Walking by, and then it did look like his gait. Like, it looked like he was walking by, which he could have been anyways. Who knows what that footage was from. But that whole thing, that was my favorite part of the whole series where when all that happened, you're like, what? Like every time something happened, you're like, no. But when that blew up, I didn't even think about Joe. I was like, Joe couldn't have done it. He was at a funeral. And then you see the ex-husband going, well, it was the perfect situation. Joe was out of town. I'm like, oh my gosh, Joe did it. It's just, everything is just wild. And the personalities, you got to just do it. Just do it.
Feel a lot of peer pressure right now.
All right. Dio, I hope you get back on the court soon. I hope we're back soon. Thank you for the time. I really appreciate
it. Thanks, Brooke.
Oh, of course. I love you guys so much. And I want to be back on the court, and I want all the guys to be back on the court. But again, I just want everyone to be okay. And this has been a time where it's weird. I'm not getting on my pedestal or anything right now or trying to make some weird statement, but I just hope that everyone takes this time to just check in with family and tell everybody you love them and take care of yourselves. And we'll get back. We don't know when, but it's the right, the NBA made the right decision. And when we get back, it'll be a glorious moment. And thank you guys for continuing to entertain us during this time. Love you so much.
Hey, Olsen Graham live every day at 4? Or is it just Tuesdays?
Well, no, that's what our goal is. It's kind of fluid, as you guys, I don't know if you watched the whole thing, but I couldn't even get the audio to work. So it's going to go.
You're not an
engineer.
It's
going to work out.
You're fine.
No, but we're looking to do it once a week at that time. And I have some goals of who I'd like next time. I can't say for sure, but everyone's got stuff going on, but I have who I want next time. But
fine, I'll come on.
No, I'm
kidding. Okay. You've got an idea?
As we continue, I would love for you guys, if you're available, to be guests. We want people from all over Blazers Nation and just, people that, people love to hear from you guys. So if you'd be willing, I'd love to have you on as guests at some point, if you're willing.
Well, of course, we'll do anything for you. But I want to follow along, though. So just keep us updated on the socials and we'll get it going. Thanks, Brooke.
I will. You guys, you're the best. Thank you so much. I miss you. I miss your faces. When I see you next, I'm going to squeeze you if I'm allowed to be close enough. Thank you for all you guys are doing. It's just nice to hear your voices, and it's just comforting. So thanks for continuing to do this.
And thank you, Brooke.
Thanks, Brooke.
Brooke Olsendam, Blazer sideline reporter. All right, we are way over. It was worth it, though. We got a little bit of basketball and Tiger King, so we're good. Let's get take a quick break, and then we'll get you set for the day on the Fan. Dusty and Cam. Look at that. I already got the rollout music on us, Cam.
Rolling out.
Oh, man.
Things are different.
You know what's interesting is that as lost as all of us are in the sports world without sports, you know, talking to Brooke, she's like the same way. Like, we all know the information that's out there, and it's like, man, nobody knows when normal is going to be back and what normal looks like.
I don't know what that means. I don't even know what that word means.
Yeah.
No idea.
Oh, man.
Don't I know.
All right. Well.
Well, we move on.
We move on.
We move on.
Move the drill.
Move the drill.
Moving on forward.
Hashtag.
All right. Tomorrow, we will hear the bells. We have our NFL rapid fire. And I'm trying to think. Oh, we didn't. You know what we didn't get to? Our budding rivalry in baseball that we never saw coming.
Wow.
We will get to that tomorrow.
Save some content.
How two guys from the Mitchell Report in 2007 have a new rivalry. Plus what the MLB is trying to do to make sure none of us know exactly what was said in the Astros and Red Sox interviews on sign stealing. All right, next we got the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you Thursday right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.